Next 2 weeks, we're going to discuss Hallel. And then afterwards, the plan is Ashrei and then Shema, right? That's the plan?
Okay.
So, over the course of the year, we've been discussing Hallel prior to the holidays. So, we're sort of in the middle of Hallel now. And we're up to... The Hallel is consecutive chapters in Tehillim. It goes, I believe, from like 113 to 118, something like that. So, we're up to 116.
How many chapters, sorry?
I think it's from 113 to 118, something like that.
That's how many chapters.
Just
what Hallel is?
Hallel, yeah, it goes. It's straight. It's from like Kuf Yud Gimel, 113, all the way till I believe it's 118, Kuf Yud Ches.
Can I ask you when you say? Sorry.
It's the chapters. These are the chapters in Tehillim.
Okay.
These are all chapters in Tehillim.
So in my.
It's a lot easier to find it. Just open the Siddur and look and go to the page for Hallel. It's easier to find it that way. You don't have to go to Tehillim to find it. Just.
Oh, okay.
Go to the Siddur. And
doesn't it say at the end of the Masoret when you say hello?
Yeah, it'll say it. It'll say it in the Siddur when to say
it.
Yeah,
it says right before the Hallel when you say it.
Yeah, when you say it. Yeah.
Does.
Yeah. So we're going to say it in about a week on Shavuos. So we'll continue on to chapter 116. We did 115 probably before Pesach. So this chapter is really... In the Hallel itself, this chapter is divided up into two different paragraphs in Hallel. It's divided up into two. Verses 1 through 11 is one paragraph in the Siddur that you'll see in Hallel. And then 12 through 19 is the second paragraph. So in the Hallel itself, this chapter is divided up into two. And the reason for that is because from 1 to 11, that's only said when we say full Hallel. This part is skipped whenever we say half Hallel. Whenever it's half Hallel, we skip verses 1 through 11. So part of our discussion today is going to be why do we skip that when we say half Hallel? Why is 1 through 11 skipped? And we only say 12 through 19. And also we'll try to figure out what's the general theme of the chapter. What's the overall theme? So let's go through each verse and then we'll go back as we usually do. So verse 1. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem eskoli tachanunai. I love... the fact that Hashem listens to my voice, to my calling out to Him. I love the fact that Hashem listens to my voice. Kihita oznai li uviyamai akra. He turns His ear, so to speak, towards me whenever I call to Him. And I call to Him uviyamai akra. I call to Him daily. Verse 3. Afafuni chavle maves umitzarai sha'ul mitza'uni tzara viyagon emtza. I'm in David HaMelech is talking here, King David, and he's saying that he's bonded by death, he's being tormented, and he's in a lot of pain. Tzara v'yagon emtza, I find myself in a lot of pain and trouble. So in verse 4, uvishim Hashem ekra, and I call out to God, to God's name, Ano Hashem malta nafshi, O Hashem, save my life. Verse 5, Chanun Hashem v'tzadik v'elokeinu merachem. Hashem is Chanun. It has three phrases here, which we'll get back to. Three phrases for how Hashem relates to us. Chanun, tzadik, and merachem. Gracious, tzadik as tziduk, what's just, and merachem is out of compassion. And then in verse 6, he says, Shomer p'saim Hashem dalosi v'li Yehoshia. That Hashem saves those that are simple. Psaim are those that are fools. Hashem saves those that are fools. Dalosi v'li Yehoshia. I am low and Hashem saves me. And David HaMelech is essentially saying here that he's like a fool, which we'll get back to. He calls himself a fool.
But he saves those that are simple. What with fools?
He saves those. He protects those that are simple, and he saves. He says, David says that I am on a low level, and Hashem has saved me.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying I'm on a low level, and Hashem saved me. Verse 7: Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi, ki Hashem gamal alaychi. My soul could return back to its to rest, to being in that state of rest, because Hashem has saved me. Hashem has been good to me. That's in verse 7. Verse 8, Ki chilatz da nafshi mimaves, es eini mindima es ragli midechi. You have saved me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. That Hashem has saved me from all these things. And so therefore it ends off by saying, Eshalech lefnei Hashem ba'artzos hachayim. I will walk in front of Hashem in the land of the living. We'll explain exactly what does it mean to be in the land of the living. Hemanti ki adaber, verse 10, Hemanti ki adaber ani anisi mi'od. I will trust in what I say. I who am suffering. And then finally, ani amarti b'chavsi kol ha'adam kozev. This is the end of the first paragraph. Ani amarti b'chavsi kol ha'adam kozev. And I say that all people are really, they're trying to, you're welcome. I trust in what I'm saying. I am ani anisi mi'od. Sorry, I'm in the next verse. Ani amaj b'chavzi kol adam kozev. And I say that quickly that all people are kozev. They're either false or they're trying to rebel against me. We'll explain exactly what that last sentence is. But just from verse 1 through 11, what is the theme for verse 1 through 11?
He's having trouble and he wants help.
I agree. I think it's as common and simple as that. He's having trouble and I think he's reflecting after he gets the help. It's not that he's in a state of trouble currently. He's past that state and he's reflecting on that state and he's saying that I was in a lot of trouble, I was having a hard time, and Hashem helped me, Hashem saved me through that, and even during that time I was calling out to God, even during that time. So that's 1 through 11. Then we'll go to 12 through 19. I think it's the theme changes slightly, which I think it'll then become clear why we skip 1 through 11. If we have to skip something, we'll skip 1 through 11 during a half halal, we'll skip that first half. So let's read this, the second half, and then we'll go back. Ma'ashiv la'Hashem kol tagmulei alai. What could I return to Hashem, who has done so much for me? Verse 13. Kos yeshuas eso v'shem Hashem ekra. I will raise up my cup of salvation, and I will call out to God. Nedarei la'Hashem ashalem negdana l'chol amo. I will pay back to God my vows, the promises that I made. I will return it back to God. Negdana l'chol amo, and I will do it publicly, in a public forum. I will essentially thank God in a public forum. Yakar b'nei Hashem hamavsa l'chasidav. We'll explain exactly what this means, but essentially it's that it's not that it's precious. I'm not sure what the English translation is here, but this is in 15. Yeah, so yakar usually means precious. Here it means that it's very difficult in the eyes of Hashem to see the death of those that follow him, those that are pious. 16. Ana Hashem kani avdecha, ani avdecha ben amasecha pitachta lemoserai. O Hashem, I am your servant, and I am also the son of your servant. My mother is also your servant. Pitachta lemoserai. You have undone my shackles. You have opened me up. Verse 17. Lecha ezbach zevach toda uvishem Hashem ekra. To you, I have to give you a korban toda. I have to give you the sacrifice that one gives when one thanks God. And I will call out to you, Hashem. And it repeats it here again. Nedarei la'Hashem ashalem negdana l'chol amo. I will pay back my vows in front of the entire nation. Bechatros, finally, the last verse. Bechatros beis Hashem besochechi Yerushalayim hallelujah. In the courtyard of Hashem, I will do this in the courtyard of Hashem, inside Yerushalayim. I will praise Hashem. So, just focusing on 12 through 19, ignoring 1 through 11, what would you think the theme is? Ignoring 1 through 11.
I think he's saying that I'm going to pay you back. Like I'm going to show my respects to you, and I'm going to show
gratitude.
Yeah.
It's all gratitude.
Yeah.
It's all gratitude. 12 through 19, if I didn't have 1 through 11, I would have no idea that he was in a lot of pain, and he was suffering, and he was... that Hashem saved him from tears and from death. I mean, there is one line on verse 16 where he says, "Pitachta lemoserai," that he has undone his shackles. He removes himself from being bound. But besides for that, that's just one phrase. Besides for that, the entire part, that entire second half, is all about praising God, thanking God. So that part makes sense. It makes a lot of sense why that's part of Hallel. And that's why that's always part of Hallel. For full Hallel and for half Hallel, we always mention that second half. That second half is always mentioned.
Yeah.
The first half is also thanking God. It is also praising God, but there's also a theme within that about the fact that he was in pain and he was suffering. So if we had to pick something to skip for half Hallel, so then it makes sense that we're going to skip that first half, that one through... I mean, it is necessary to be part of the storyline. You have to thank God. We're thinking he's thanking God here because he was suffering and Hashem saved him. But ultimately, when we're singing in Hallel and we're thanking Hashem, so then we want to focus on that second half from 12 through 19.
When we like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we tend not to we don't ask for things really from God, right? Like
we try not to ask for our physical needs.
Our physical needs.
Yeah.
So the fact, okay, I'm just going to come out and say this because I'm not sure of the breadth of all of our learning. So is it okay to complain about being in pain on those days too? Like, I'm kind of thinking, like, you're not I understand the not asking because of the physical thing, but I'm wondering, like, are you allowed to fetch and complain to God on, or are you just supposed to be gracious, like, the second
I think, to
are
complain.
You talking just about Shabbat? Or are you
about Shabbat, Yom Tov, when you're kind of more celebratory in kind of...
To complain to God? In general, I just view...
This is not a complaint.
This is not a complaint.
No,
this is not, you're just asking a general question.
I understand the second half, but...
The first half, he's not complaining to God in the
he's
first half either.
You know,
he's not complaining to God.
In some ways, asking is, are you allowed to complain?
You're asking a separate question. Are you allowed
to
complain?
This kind of, like... To me, the difference between first Hallel and second is...
I think it's more... Can I interrupt you, Robin, just for a second? I think that the first part gives... Like if you... Like the preview.
It gives a platform
and,
for the
and,
second part.
And
I
the
get
second
that.
Part is the gratitude. So
I get that.
A lot of people go around and say, you should be grateful for this or you should be grateful for that. Very few people really understand what it is to be grateful. A lot of people get to that understanding by something harsh or difficult that has happened in their lives or that they see or witness in some way that they can say, wow, look how it could have turned out and look how it did turn out. And aren't we thankful for that? And when we get to that, then we get to the second half. And so it's sort of when you have the first half, you're actually pronouncing it. When you're just doing the second half, it's already understood. It's understood why there should be gratitude, and here is the gratitude.
But we're not saying we're complaining in the first half. He's
not complaining. He's not complaining. He's thanking God. He's also in the first half. He's also thanking God.
Okay, but can you answer my question?
Yeah, that's a great question.
So, but your question, anyways, about complaining. Just to get back to your question.
The complain, right?
Separate issue. I think a complaint to God, in my mind, in its proper context, is really also a prayer to God. Because when you're not, it's a plea. You're not just complaining to God without wanting to have a response back. That's not why we're complaining to God.
Solution. You're looking for a solution.
You're complaining to God because you're really, as a complaint, you're really crying out to God. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
In that, so that, if it's for physical needs, so then it's better to hold off on Shabbos for that. You should do that. You could do that during the week.
Well, does emotional need mean physical need?
Is emotional need a physical need? Generally, we say that you're allowed to pray for spiritual needs. I meant physical as opposed to spiritual.
You're allowed to
pray for spiritual for your spiritual needs.
Okay, when you say spiritual, does that mean emotional? Emotional,
I guess,
strength.
Strength. You're asking for strength.
For strength,
to help
you can
get
ask for
it.
Yes.
I think of physical, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
That's another component of being. Physical. So.
Well. You're talking about emotional strength, right?
Yeah.
So then, I could see that being a on the spiritual side of things. I could see that as being on the spiritual side.
Okay, question satisfied.
Okay.
It's interesting that these two paragraphs are very personal, but the start of Hallel is for the community.
Well, the start of Hallel really deals with Mitzrayim. That's dealing with the community of dealing with Mitzrayim. This is actually personal. There are transitions that occur over Hallel. You're right in terms of this, but another transition is that originally we talked about Mitzrayim, and then it shifts over to discussing the times of Mashiach. So there is a transition that occurs, and Olam Haba. So there are transitions that occur. This paragraph is definitely personal. David, Chazal, our rabbis tell us that David said this after Shaul was killed. After Shaul was killed and David was became the king. If you know anything about David's life, his life was all about running away from people that were trying to attack him. He had enemies all over. Mm-hmm. Even his own son rebelled against him. Mm-hmm. He had to run away from his own son. So, and that was afterwards. But Shaul himself also tried to kill him multiple times. He was really... And David had the opportunity also to kill Shaul. He had that opportunity and he didn't. He didn't kill him because he didn't think it was the right thing to do. Even though he knew that Shaul was trying to attack him. So he was living a life of just running away. A lot of his life was running away from his enemies. And Shaul eventually, so then after Shaul died and David HaMelech became the king, so he says this. This is the paragraph that he's saying, that I was, when he talks about death, he means really death. He's running away, he was saved from death, from Shaul. So this is the paragraph that he says right before he becomes king.
The reason why we say Hallel on the holidays, because, you know, they fought us, they tried to kill us, we fought them, let's eat.
Well, each, like, no, that's not, why are the Tehillim in general, David HaMelech wrote Tehillim in a way where it's personal, but it's also could apply for every generation.
No, but I'm just saying so, Hallel in particular, why do we say
so
that
we say Hallel, on the holidays? Every holiday has a different celebration. So Hallel, we celebrate the fact, on Shavuos, we celebrate the fact that we got the Torah. It's a celebration that we got the Torah. So that's
why
not...
Why don't we say Hallel on Shabbos? Celebrate the day of rest. I mean, I'm just trying
so
to...
So Shabbos is... It's an interesting question that you're asking. Shabbos, I think, is not really a time of celebration. It's rest is different than celebration. It's a day of rest to refocus, to think about different things that we wouldn't think about during the week. It's not a day of celebration, per se. There's a whole discussion whether it's necessary to have simcha, happiness, on Shabbos itself. Is there like a concept of having happiness? So that's a discussion. But it's
not...
That
is a discussion?
What?
That is a discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Whether you have to have happiness. But we definitely need to have happiness on the holidays. So the holidays are meant for days of celebration. Shabbos is a day of rest.
But we're also forbidden to be sad on Shabbat.
You're not allowed to be sad, yeah. But I think there's still a difference between not being sad and proactively being happy. There's a difference between the two.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, and we should be happy. It's just a question whether we have to be happy.
can I interject here?
Yeah.
That is something that I got from Rabbi Dabrowski that I value beyond anything else. Every Friday night when I would leave his supper table, his dinner table, he and his wife would come down to escort people out of the house, and he would look me straight in the eye and say, "Rivka, be happy."
Yeah.
And I hadn't a clue what he meant, because I was in terrible trouble until finally, after about 3 years, through living with him, well, I figured it out.
Yeah.
And it was, what an opener, what a change in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should all be happy, not just on the holidays, not just on Shabbos, every day we should be happy.
Yes.
It's true.
Amen.
It's true. Okay, so let's go back and analyze some of these verses, some of the psukim here. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es kol li tachanunai. I love the fact there's a dispute here whether he's saying here that he loves Hashem because Hashem listens to him, or he loves the fact that Hashem does listen to him. It's a minute difference. It's nuanced. But he loves Hashem for listening to him. Es kol li tachanunai. He listens to my voice, to my pleas, to my whenever I call out to him. So there, some of the commentators pick up on the fact that it says that he listens to koli, to my voice. So independent of my plea, he listens to the voice itself. And so they say that sometimes we call out not with words, but with like a scream or with a cry. So that itself, Hashem listens to that also. It doesn't, you don't know.
He listens to us physically and through our soul that's screaming.
Yeah, through our soul that's screaming, and also just through a cry. Sometimes we actually do cry without having words. We don't have the words to use to explain how we're feeling, but just the feeling itself and the cry itself, Hashem listens to. And they, one example that they give of that we find in Tanakh is in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. The verse says, the pasuk says that the Jews, they screamed out. After they were in such a terrible state, It was after the king died, that Paro died. They had a point in time where they were able to rest for a very short period of time. And they screamed out. The pasuk doesn't say that they prayed or they said, there were no words that were used. They screamed. They had nothing, they didn't know what to do.
Is that where we get the idea of storm the heavens?
I don't know, maybe.
From what they did in Egypt?
Maybe,
where they cried,
I don't know.
And God responded?
It's possible. But that is what occurred. They just there was just a cry. Yeah.
Storm the heavens for this.
I don't know where the original source is for that.
And it kind of works.
Yeah.
People get well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Hashem listens to both the kol, to the voice, and also to the tachanunai, to the plea itself. And also, it's good to have both. It's good to have the cry, and it's also good to have just the prayer itself. Kihita ozno li uviyamai akra. Kihita ozno li. Hashem turns his ear towards us, so to speak. He doesn't have an ear, but it's as if Hashem turns his ear towards us. Uviyamai akra. And I call out to him daily, essentially. It's essentially daily that I call out to him both. Our commentators say it's both during good times and bad times, which I think is also a theme here. There's a theme here that we're supposed to call out to God both during good times and bad times. At bad times, we cry to him, and we ask to take us out of our current situation. And then when during good times, we have to reflect back and say, and thank God. That's a time we're supposed to thank God. So during both times, we're supposed to call out to God. Gimel, afafuni chavle maves umitzare she'u mitza'uni tsara v'yogon emtsa. I'm tormented, I'm in a lot of trouble, I'm in a lot of pain. Some explain that this is referring to both in terms of my spiritual needs and my physical needs, beguf ubenefesh, in my body and in my soul, that I'm in a lot of pain. Ubeshem Hashem Ekra, in verse 4, but I still call out to God, Ana Hashem. Ana is a language of, they translate it as, oh, there's no real translation for Ana. So they just say, oh Lord. It's like it's a stronger form of a request. Ana Hashem Malta Nafshi, save my life. And for
is Ana the same as Bevakasha?
As Bakasha? Bevakasha? It could be, yeah, it's a form of a request, yeah.
Okay, because I learned that.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense, that's what it is, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Chanan Hashem Vitzadik. Hashem is gracious, and he's just. Ve'elokeinu merachim, and our God is merachim. He has rachamim. He has compassion for us. So there are three phrases here that are used: chanun, tzaddik, and merachim. And the Malbim, so he explains that these three words mean that Hashem listens to us in three different ways. Chanun, the root of the word chanun is chinam. He says chinam means free. It's free. So chanan means that Hashem gives it to us for free. It's like a gift. Sometimes Hashem responds to us as a gift, and that's when we're not deserving of it. If we're not deserving of it, so then Hashem gives it to us as a gift. Tzaddik means just, that Hashem is just. So in other times, Hashem responds back to us because in a just way, that we are deserving of it, so Hashem will help us out because we are deserving of it. So either, whether we're deserving of it or not, so Hashem will help us. And then finally, Velokeinu Merachim. Hashem is Merachim. Hashem is compassion. So that means that sometimes it's not about whether it's a gift or whether we're deserving of it. Hashem will respond to us out of compassion. If he sees the state that we're in, we're in such a terrible state, so then Hashem will respond to us in such a state. He has compassion for what's occurring in our own lives. So we have that division of Chanan Hashem v'tzadik. Hashem is Chanan and v'tzadik. He responds to us as a gift or because we're deserving of it. And then finally, Velokeinu Merachim, and Hashem is also compassion if we're in a certain situation where it's very difficult, so then Hashem will respond back. Verse 6, Shomer Psalm Hashem, Dalosi V'li Yehoshia. David HaMelech now compares himself to a pesi, to a simple person, to a fool. He says that Hashem listens to the fools. He listens to me, I'm a fool. So why does he say this? Why does he call himself a fool? So one of the explanations that I saw is that he compares himself to a fool because ultimately it's not in our control. Sometimes we could think that we're very smart and we could get out of certain situations, but if God has a plan, God has a plan. And it's not sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes we have to realize that it's not always in our control. We have to try our best. We do have to try our best, but we have to also realize that it's not in our control. And so that's what David says. David says, you know, ultimately I'm a fool because I could try hard, but if it's not the direction that you want it to go in, so then it's not going to happen. So he compares himself to a fool.
Well, it's just like to strip off your arrogance.
Yeah, it's saying that I could try whatever I want. What'd you say?
Strip off.
You got that?
Bam. Me too.
So it's saying that I could try however much I could be an intelligent person and think about things and try to direct my path in a certain direction, but ultimately it's in the hands of God. That's essentially what he's saying. Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi ki Hashem gamal alaychi. And so he says that either he's saying that it's a prayer that my nefesh, I hope, will return to being at rest. My soul will return to being at rest. Or he's reflecting back on what happened, that my soul is now at rest. That after what happened, my soul is now at rest. Ki Hashem gamal alaychi, because Hashem has helped me out. He has done so much good for me. And I think that just the concept of shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi, that my soul is at rest, is a very powerful one. The concept of rest and shalom, shalom is being at peace. I'm not referring to the peace of between people, but peace within yourself. So we say that in Shemona Esrei, which we didn't have a chance to do together, the last bracha, the very last bracha of Shemona Esrei, is the bracha of shalom, the bracha of peace. Because that's really the concluding bracha. That's what's necessary for everything else to work. If I don't have peace, if I have everything else that's in Shemona Esrei, if I don't have that inner peace, so then I don't have anything. I need to have that inner peace in order to continue. So that's what he's saying here. Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi. At the end of the day, what do I need at the end? I need to have my soul to be at rest. I need to have that inner peace to go ahead and continue. Verse 8, Ki chilatzta nafshi mimaves, eseini min dima, esragli midechi. Hashem has saved me. He saved me from death, my eyes from crying, and my feet from stumbling. I'm sorry?
It's so cool. Everything is always covered. You know, like this, it's just, everything's so complete.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable how he could have a personal prayer that just lasts forever. It could be personal for each person. As halech lefnei Hashem ba'artzos hachayim, and I walk now in front of Hashem. Now that I've been saved, I walk in front of Hashem ba'artzos hachayim, in the land of the living. So what does it mean, the land of the living? What are we referring to here as the land of the living? So some explain that this is referring to David. David, at this time, he had to run away. He left Israel at this point in time. Before he was king, he had to leave Israel. He had to run away. And so Artos HaChayim means he comes back to Israel, that he returns back to the land of the living, the land of Israel. That's how some explain it. But our Chazal they have different explanations for what Artos HaChayim is. The land of the living could mean the times of Mashiach.
Yeah.
It could be referring to Olam Haba. It says it could be referring to Gan Eden. There are different midrashim that say that Artos HaChayim is referring to that ultimate life. But I saw an explanation which I feel is even more profound. It says Artos HaChayim, it's true. Our Chazal say give different explanations. It's referring to that perfect life of the living in Mashiach, Gan Eden, Olam Haba. He says, no, Artos HaChayim means our living.
Yeah.
Hashem, I'm walking in front of Hashem. What we're doing right now, it's not about what's going to happen in the future. Artos HaChayim is the fact that we are alive today. We are alive today. Hashem has saved me, and so now I can go ahead and continue and walk in front of Hashem in our life today. We don't have to just focus on the times of Mashiach. That's going to be the ultimate time where I can walk with Hashem in the Artos HaChaim. No, our lives today are Artos HaChaim. Our lives are days of living where we could walk with Hashem in our lives today. That we have a lot that we could do to impact the world, to impact ourselves and with regard to our own spirituality, that we could do today. We don't have to just focus on the future.
Yeah, it reminds me of a conversation I had, and we were saying, like, we already are resilient. Like, if, like, we sometimes when we're going through something, it doesn't feel like it. And then, but if you look back at, like, things that you went through, sometimes it's, like, amazing what people go through. It's, like, unbelievable what people can manage to go through. And, you know, you went through it. You went through it, and you're still whole, and you're standing right here. So that, to me, is comforting. Like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, I can do this. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's yeah. And then I can move forward. And that's what he's saying here. I can move forward now in the state that I'm in.
That's interesting because when I've been in terrible trouble, I've forced myself to remember I didn't survive the Holocaust. And there are people around me, all around me, who did. And it gives me a sense of proportion I didn't have before. So thank you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then what do those Holocaust people say? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Like, there's always different levels of everything. Like, I just read on the Fox News, unfortunately, about some new parents who left their six-month-old on a queen-size bed with pillows around them, and they heard a thump. The baby had rolled over, and now it's going to have cerebral palsy, severe brain damage, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, oh, my God, I wish I never read this. But, like, like, you
so
know,
don't read the news.
I have to, just so I can talk to my husband. Like, I know. He already had an answer.
Positive news. You can look up online. You can find, like, good news. For
that, no. I know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like.
It's like deluding.
But my concern is, like, to what degree, like, you can always find someone who's had it worse than you. Like,
I don't know if the focus of your life is positive
because somebody else has it worse. I don't think that's the primary attitude to take.
We have a man in this community who we should all listen to. His name's Robbie Weissman. He's a survivor. He has a tattoo. And he writes and thinks, and he's so positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so what it is.
Right.
If you can hear him speak.
We have a woman that comes to our class.
Rita. Yeah, Rita.
See, Rita does this all. She's also. She went
she's
through.
Very my dad Weissman is special.
Right. What I'm pointing to is, like, I'm learning in this class now that there's no not God, right? So if there's no not God, then everything that happens to me in my life is tailored
it's
to me
for the good.
From God. And it doesn't mean that sometimes it could be painful. It could be extraordinarily painful. But the point is that because there's no not God, whatever happens, I'm essentially okay. It doesn't mean I don't have pain. I can have pain. But I am okay. I will come through this. And it's kind of like Vancouver weather, you know? It's cloudy. And it's gonna be okay eventually. But it's kind of like an intellectual understanding and an emotional experience.
That's a very high state to be in. It's to be constantly with God. That's like the
that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. Yeah. That's
the motivation. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Chabad teaches a step further than what you just said, which is really good. But Chabad teaches everything that happens to you is for the good.
Mm.
We don't necessarily understand it. You're talking about pain and whatever. I mean, how can a Holocaust survivor say everything that's happened to me was for the good?
No, but that's the one thing that Chabad says they can't explain the Holocaust. Like,
no, but they still say that everything God does is for the good. We must believe that because it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes from the Talmud. The Talmud says this. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It comes from the Talmud.
Yeah.
Do you know where?
I can find out exactly where, but I know around where.
I would really appreciate it if you could.
Yeah, I can find. I can. Yeah, I'll find. I'll get back to you. Yeah, send me an email to remind me, and I'll get back to you. Let's just let's continue. Hemati, I'm in verse 10 here. Hemati kadaber ani anisim od. I trust in what I'm saying and what I say that Hashem or what I did say that Hashem has Hashem will help me and He did help me. In verse 11, Ani amarti bechavzi kol ha'adam kozev, and I said in my haste that every person is is betraying against me. This is referring to David specifically, in terms of the other people who were trying to rebel against him or trying to attack him, whether it was Shaul or his son Absalom or others. He's saying that all around him he had enemies, and that he had to rely upon Hashem. So that's all the first half. That's 1 through 11. 1 through 11 is about how he calls out to Hashem in his times of need, and how Hashem responded back to him in a very positive way, and Hashem has saved him. That's 1 through 11. And then 12 through 19 is just focusing on his reflection of that, and it's all positive from here. Ma'ashiv la'Hashem kol tagmulohi alai. How could I repay Hashem back for all the good that he has done for me? There's no way that I can repay that. It's impossible.
Robert, can you just tell me what
Tagmulohi is? Yeah. All the good that Hashem has done for me. How could I pay back Hashem for that? Kos Yeshuas Esa uvishem Hashem Ekra. Just sorry, going back on the previous verse, I forgot. Kol Tagmulohi Allah, all the good that Hashem has done for me. There's one commentator who says that the ultimate good that Hashem has done for me is that he has put me in a state where I can now thank Hashem. Mm-hmm. That's the good. The good is that I'm in a state now where he has done so much good for me that I can now thank Hashem. That itself, that's a higher level of goodness that Hashem has done. I'm now able to thank Hashem.
Which one is that?
Verse 12.
There's
yeah.
a question mark.
Yeah, it's saying how could I repay Hashem for all the good that he has done for me? Okay. How could I do that?
Like, what you just said about now I'm in a position now where I can thank, right? Because of a hardship we went through. So it kind of makes me think of in Vancouver there are lots of people that have disabilities, I see them all over the place. And sometimes I think to myself, okay, but their life is really kind of easy, They don't have any responsibilities, they don't have any whatever. But God forbid, we would never want to have that kind of life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
13. Kos Yeshuas Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. I will raise up my cup of wine and call out to Hashem. There's a concept of singing with wine. The Gemara says, Ein Shira Ela Bayayin, that there's only rejoicing out of wine, that you rejoice through wine, and I call out to Hashem. And then, Nidarai la Hashem ashalem negda na l'chol amo. I will pay back my vows, I will complete my vows, that they say that he took vows when he was in pain, when he was suffering, and he said that if Hashem takes me out of this, I will respond back and try to do something for Hashem. He took a vow to bring a korban, whether it's to bring a korban, a sacrifice of thanks to Hashem. He's going to pay back his vows. Negda na l'chol amo. And it'll be in a public forum, which I think we've discussed in the past, that when one thanks Hashem, it shouldn't just be done privately, but when you thank Hashem for some pain that a person has gone through, you should try to make if there's a miracle that happened to you, that you were in a dangerous situation, you're supposed to make a suda. You're supposed to make a meal so that in a public way you're thanking Hashem. It shouldn't just be less private. It's always a rat food.
It's a replacement for the sacrifices we can't make anymore.
Yeah. So no, it's true. It is. It is food.
Absolutely.
It's just what I find interesting is that in the first verse of this section, verse 12, he says that there's no way for me to repay Hashem back for what he's done for me. And then he goes on and he says, but I'll raise up my cup of wine for him and I'll bring a korban, I'll bring a sacrifice. And so he's trying to do something. So David HaMelech is trying to do something. But he knows that in the end of the day, there's no way to completely pay back that which Hashem has done for him. So Yakar, verse 15, Yakar b'nei Hashem hamavsa l'chasidav. It says here that Hashem has so much pain overseeing the fall of those who are pious. 16, Ana Hashem.
That doesn't feel complete to me. I don't know what they're getting at there.
So that is that for Hashem, he's saying that Hashem has saved me from death.
Oh, okay.
And Hashem has saved me from death because it's so difficult for Hashem to see the death of those who are close to him, of those who are pious. Okay. It's difficult for Hashem to see that death, and Hashem has saved me from it. Verse 16 is an important pasuk here. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha pitachta lemoseirai. David HaMelech here is saying that I am your servant. And I am not just your servant, but I am your servant who is the son of your maidservant.
that I might... say the daughter of your maidservant when I do this.
Okay. The equivalent of. This is David HaMelech talking, but it's the equivalent of. And so there's a beautiful explanation. Why does it say, I am your servant and also the son of your maidservant? I could just be your servant. Why did it have to also be the son or daughter of your maidservant? And so the Radak explains that I am your servant. What does it mean to be a servant? For a servant, it means that I'm
you're my commander.
You're my commander. I'm fully yours. I'm fully yours. That I belong to you at all times, just like a servant at all times I belong to you. But not just that, but also my mother was also your servant. Why is it your mother? So the Radak explains, because it's the mother. The mother is the one that that nurtures the child, and that brings up the child. So I was brought up with that mindset of being your servant. So my mother was a servant, so therefore that's what I was taught, and I am also a servant. I'm also currently a servant to you. That is my whole being. I'm one that I'm fully yours. Verse 17, L'cha ezbach zevach toda, I will bring a korban toda. This is the sacrifice of thanks to Hashem. U'b'shem Hashem ekra, again it repeats it, that I'm calling out to you. Nidarai l'Hashem ha'shalem negdana l'chol amo, and again it's repetitive here. It says again that I will fulfill my vows, I will bring that korban to you in front in a public forum. And then finally the last verse, b'chatzros beis Hashem b'sochich Yerushalayim hallelujah, that I will do so in the courtyard of Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash, I will bring that. David HaMelech didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, but it's referring to he had a Mishkan. I'll bring that to the courtyard of Hashem. I will try to do it in the best possible way. I'll bring that korban to you in the house of Hashem.
Was this before or after he brought the ark to Jerusalem?
This was. This was before. This was before, I think. I think this was before.
So the Mishkan.
They had the Mishkan. They had a Mishkan. I'm not sure when this, if it was before or after. So just to conclude, we say this as halal. The second half is really that real focus of halal, of thanks to Hashem. The first half is about the fact that he's reflecting over the pain that he was in. Which is also a reflection. It's not the state that he's in of pain, but it's really a reflection of the pain that he was in. But the second half is what we say all the time for every halal, this just rejoicing over the fact that Hashem has helped him in so many ways that he can't pay it back. There's no way for him to pay it back. Mm-hmm.